We will call to order this AMAS Policy Committee meeting at 1:30 on Thursday, March 24, 2016. Do we have a quorum?
Yes, we do.
We have a quorum. Is there any audience participation? Come on, audience participation. Okay. We have the meeting minutes from January 28, 2016. Any questions, comments, concerns on the meeting minutes? I need a motion to accept, please.
A motion. Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed the same. Hearing none, motion carried. Item number three, staff reports. Financial progress report. Curtis Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. All right, if you look at attachment 3A, you'll see our current year-to-date expenses against our annual budget. We've got about 3-4 months left in the year. We spent about 56% of our funds. So as of right now, we're in good fiscal shape to be within budget at the end of the fiscal year. So with that, I'd be happy to entertain any questions.
Moore, move to approve.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed the same. Hearing none, motion carried. Item 3B, technical progress report. Curtis Baker.
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman. I just want to give you guys a few updates. You've probably seen some of the emails floating around. We are starting a new round of the Connecting Communities Planning Grants, $100,000 available for grants up to $50,000. We did release a notice of funds available, and the application will be out on Friday, April 1st. We're giving communities, I believe, Heather, I'm sorry, is it 6 weeks?
Eight weeks.
One of the things we are asking for is legislation this time for the planning grants to make sure that there's a commitment from the community to ensure that we have the support of both, you know, councils or township trustees, et cetera. So that's sort of where that's going. Also, just so you know, we have a planning process for, we're working on our 2040 plan now. That process ends on in May of 2017, so next year at this about this time. So a lot of what the staff will be working on the next year is developing all of those, meeting all those federal check marks that we have to do to make sure that you know, we have a sound planning process for the next year and for the four-year plan. That plan will contain recommendations that are eligible for funding through our funding programs. So that's going to be the main impetus that the staff's working on here in the next 9 to 12 months. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Hearing none, seeing none. Moving forward, item 3C, AMAS Federal Fund Reports. Mr. Victor Bodison.
Thank you. We're closing in on the fourth quarter of fiscal year 2016. This is shaping up to be our highest year in expenditures ever at about $40 million. And about $30 million of that is crammed in the fourth quarter here coming up. We did last year when we had the lockdown for this year, we're not in agreement with all the sponsors committed to delivering their projects. We're hoping that'll happen. And then we also had a project review meeting down at ODOT kind of Friday, and those projects still are on schedule. It looks like that'll come to pass. Federal Highway Administration has they use a ratio out there of about for every $1 billion of construction, that equals about 13,000 jobs. So our 40 million equals a little bit over 500 jobs for our area. And the only other thing I wanted to mention is the projects that were approved for funding back in January. Just about everybody has submitted their programming package into ODOT to get those projects programmed. That's all I have on this side.
Questions for Mr. Bodison? Thank you. Okay, none moving forward. Number four, old business. We have none. Number five, new business. AMAS Funding Policy Workshop Summary. Attachment 5A, Curtis Baker.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attachment 5A discusses our AMAS Funding Policy Workshop, summarizes what went on in the meeting. I know a lot of you did attend, but I know also some of you haven't, so or weren't able to attend. So I'll try to at least touch on some of the things that were discussed a little bit. And then I think what we'd like to see is this committee possibly make a motion to create a subcommittee to look at this further. The main issues that we sort of identified in this workshop were, one, I think one of the big ones was a concern about the composition of the TAC TIP subcommittee. For those of you that don't know, that committee is made up of communities over 20,000. There was some discussion about, you know, should we look at adding additional representation from smaller communities, or should policy committee have its own process to, say, review, especially funded when we're funding a round of projects. You know, should we have a workshop for the communities to discuss that? There were concerns expressed about the scoring in terms of the amount of weight given to average daily traffic. I'm saying a lot for the smaller communities, it is difficult to fund projects that don't have that have low ADTs, and also that the stage three plans that, you know, are available to develop a project, smaller communities usually don't have that ability with ODOT to get a project pitted before they have federal funding in it or funding in the project. So that was a concern that was raised. Also, there was concerns about capacity adding projects, the fact that we're pretty punitive if you're trying to add capacity. And there were some thoughts that maybe we could, with a sliding scale, ease up for some of our worst congested areas. Also, the resurfacing program was discussed. There was concern with the resurfacing program that we're now about 5-6 years out from with the amount of money that we have, amount of funding available, that some of these jobs that we're awarding now won't be funded until 2021 or 22. So there was some discussion of, you know, should we try to collapse that to always be a two-year program or a three-year program where you can really, you know, then get the paving done quickly so you're not waiting for a road that's 55 PCR pavement condition rating to go down to a 45 pavement condition rating or something like that. There's also discussion about our Connecting Communities Planning Grant about possibly awarding more points for projects that were identified there, but also the need to open that program up so that more communities are available or more communities have access to that funding to be competitive. The fair share discussion revolved mostly on, you know, we right now, when we track fair share, we go back to 1972, and the discussion has been, is that appropriate? You know, that we're now to the point where that's past the useful life of the projects that were funded in 1972. Should we be doing it on a 20-year cycle, a 15-year cycle of a rolling fair share? And then finally, on the Transportation Alternatives Program, I think by that point we had talked for about 2.5 hours, so we were a little burned out. But what came up with that was just the difficulty for those of you with Safe Routes to Schools projects finding a funding source for those, because the state only has about $4 million a year for the state. And obviously our funds, we have about $1 million, and how far that goes, it's very difficult to fund those projects, especially that they're local projects. And I think even the question was sort of raised is that something the MPO should be doing, or is that just going to have to be a local expense if that's something that is important to your community? So those were sort of the main issues discussed. At that meeting, it was suggested by some of the members that we create a subcommittee that could potentially look at this. The staff does think that that would be good. I think in my mind this is going to take a couple months, possibly with the policy committee meeting, with the TAC TIP meeting, meeting with that community to determine, kind of get more insight on the process, on the scoring, things like that. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions or, you know, provide any other answers you need.
I move we create a funding policy.
I'd like to second that.
I have a motion and a second to create a funding policy committee. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Hearing none, motion carries. Okay, we have created by motion this committee. Is there a discussion on how we would like this committee comprised?
Well, it's a representation from the smaller communities.
Okay. I think that if we go any more than about 7 people on the committee, we're going to be kind of productive. My personal thought is I recommend it, and because she's not here to deny it, the vice chair, Bobby Bashara, would chair that committee, and then we could possibly, I would think, 2 people from, say, under 15,000, 2 people from 15 to 50, and 2 people over 50. Does that sound about right?
I'd like the county County engineers on
and the county.
Yeah, both counties.
Okay. So what about if we go at the population levels, okay, the two county engineers, Mickey and Al, thank you, and then four other people besides that.
I don't have to break down how many communities is under 15,000.
Well, we have here.
I know you see some of the smaller communities with 3,000, 2,000, you know, 4,000.
Well, it looks like there's a clear break. There's a clear break of 10,000. Macedonia would be the lowest at 11.1, and then under that you have Fairlawn, Monroe Falls, Mogador, Northfield, Richfield, Lakemore, Silver Lake, Doylestown, and Rittman. So if there's four people left, if we have Bobby as the chair and both the county engineers, that makes three. So there would be four people left. Do you want to you want to go one under 10, one from 10 to, say, 25,000 and 25,000 and above?
How does that affect the small government funds under 5,000?
It has no effect. You mean on the issue?
No.
Okay. Yeah, and just keep in mind that the purpose of this committee is to just dig deeper into the issues that were raised at the funding policy workshop. So we would bring this to the policy committee then to discuss, again, in a very similar manner of the workshop, to have that open discussion again with maybe some, you know, okay, now we've got a subcommittee that's looked at this, dug a little deeper, and now we can make some recommendations.
I'd like to see a little lower of the communities under 5,000.
Because having Bobby as the chair, that's a community under 5,000.
Yes.
Would there be any support for having the county engineers be ex officios, so that there's this, goes back to your original point of having two from small, two from medium, and two from large?
My only concern is when we start getting 7, 8, 9, 10 people on something, the ability to come to an agreement is pretty hard. I'm just speaking for myself, but I always found that the smaller we can keep a committee, the more chances we have of getting something accomplished.
I don't totally disagree with that. The one thing I would say is that when you come back to this policy committee, you're going to have that issue. So whatever recommendation comes out of the funding committee, you're going to have a much bigger group that you're going to have to convince. I might suggest that we take a little time to look at what the makeup of that funding committee is, and if we could do it even like via email. I don't know that I'm prepared, because I'm not to say one way or another how it should be. I haven't looked at any of the statistics. I don't have this information in front of me, and I'd prefer to see that before I decide how the makeup of this funding committee should.
Would you, I mean, is it the voice of the board that perhaps, you know, Curtis could assemble a questionnaire per se and send that over email, and you guys can give your thoughts, and then we will we'll assemble those thoughts and send it back out? I mean, does that?
That makes a lot of sense.
Could you also include in that perhaps the communities that would want to volunteer for that subcommittee,
because
you may have a much smaller pool to decide from?
Yeah. You just said anybody that's not here is going to point it.
Yeah.
Well, my personal feeling is I would rather for my population community, I want to make sure that the person that's representing that population is very invested and engaged in the group, as opposed to somebody that isn't really that interesting, because that would be an important representation.
Well, I mean, I guess, Curtis, your marching orders are to come up with some type of a survey that we can send out to the membership, and then, you know, have a deadline for the membership to respond back, and, you know, we will, you know, we'll assemble the criteria that we have from there and make a decision, you know, moving forward. We also have to have some type of a focus or a direction for that community to take. I mean, everything that we've done up to now is tradition, and you know, in the fire service, we have a saying, tradition is the reason we do something because we don't know why. And I think now, if we're going to take this on, okay, if we're going to take this on, I think that we need to take a hard look at everything and maybe come up with some different, you know, different parameters or different ways to look at things. So this committee, you know, of seven people is going to be charged with a huge task. And I don't think it's something that we can, you know, we can do overnight in order to continue to move, you know, to move it forward. Let's bring us up to date, you know.
You have a motion and a second on the floor. Right?
We did. We had a motion and a second to create the committee. And we did.
And we're in discussion right now.
And we're in discussion. We've created the committee, or the name of the committee, but now we're to the point where we're going to find out how we comprise that committee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think a questionnaire is appropriate.
Any other questions? Yes, sir, Mr. Liu.
I just have one comment from Mayor Harmon. Now, I've always found, being a mayor, I was on the council for 29 years, I've always found that plagiarism is the best way to find out whether something works. And what I'm saying to you is the other NGOs, what are they doing? And does it work? And, of course, I don't have the wherewithal to do that, but I'm wondering if it's look at the other NGOs, not just Ohio, but let's go in the Midwest or even PA. But my point is that if this is something that has been done by other NGOs, let's borrow it, let's find out whether it works.
Why reinvent the wheel?
Yeah, why reinvent the wheel? And I agree with you, Glenn, that 12 is the max you should ever have. Since I'm a lawyer, we have a jury system as well, and maybe sometimes they never agree on anything. You know, make it small, but representative, that's key. But I also think that if we do something like this, we ought to see how it works with other NGOs.
Well, this, Curtis, this should give you some, you know, some ideas of where the folks here, where their desires are, and where we want to head. And I would say probably within a week or so, we have something ready to send out via email. And then, you know, I would ask all the members of the policy committee, please let's get 100% return on it, so that we can get a good cross section. And then, you know, we'll assemble, we'll take it under advisement, and we'll go from there. I think that we would probably have to bring it back to this committee in 2 months, mm-hmm. So we do have some time to move forward. But I would like to have this committee have enough time before, you know, so that if we do decide on a new policy, that, you know, we move forward before we start deciding on next year's projects or projects we're going to vote on this year. So there will be a time frame, but I don't think it's an unworkable time frame.
Yeah, our next round of funding is not this fall, but the following fall. So okay, we have good, and that's part of the reason we wanted to start this process now, is so that we had enough time to kind of discuss all the issues. And what we can do as staff, I mean, one thing that I think we might need clarifying on is the breaks, you know, where the break points are, and then sort of how the committee would like to nominate members of each of those, you know, of each of those breaks. So it might even be we identify the break, everyone agrees on it, and then we might be asking you as a contingent of the 15,000 to 20,000, who do you want as your representative, or as the 20,000 to 35,000, who do you want as your representative?
No, that's also in that breakdown too, though. I mean, the smaller communities compare in population, but they don't compare in economics. So if you're comparing a Lakemore to a Richfield, even though we have the same population, we're nowhere close in economics. So
mm-hmm. Keep that in mind.
And I think, too, with the positive momentum from the workshop meeting, I don't think this is that difficult of a task. It seems like there were some great ideas brought forth at that meeting that weren't extreme in any way. So I think we can get something done.
Well, I definitely believe it's a step in the right direction. You know, and we are kind of reinventing the wheel a little bit here. But I mean, I think it's time that we look at something like this. I mean, new directors come on board. You know, now I think is the time to. We've been doing it this way for how long? 40 years,
almost 1972, yeah. Just about. So.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I agree with Jane over here. If we're going to set a chair and we're going to set automatic membership from both counties, I would still think that we'd want to have more than just four other people. I think six is a good number, and that would give you a total of nine. Just those are my thoughts.
Well, we'll make sure when we send the survey out that, you know, all of these things are on there. And then also there's going to be a comment section on there too, where, you know, if you have individual ideas that we can take, you know, that others may not have thought of, but we can take under advisement also. And, you know, I think this is the way we need to do things. You know, we are the policy committee. We are, you know, setting policy moving forward. And I think it's something that we need to do as a group. And I think it's a great start.
Do we need a motion to... We got a motion to create the committee. I don't know if we need a motion to do anything else at this point or wait to the next meeting to actually have the motion for the composition.
Next meeting?
Okay. Well, I think when we bring the ideas forth at the next meeting that we'll be prepared then. Okay.
I would suggest if you have any questions you want to see on the survey, to forward it over to who.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, you just send it to me.
That's a great idea, Amy. If anybody has questions that they want to ask, please send them down to Curtis, and that way we can incorporate them into the survey.
I would just hope that we're not overthinking this. This is a committee that's going to report back to us anyhow. And so, you know, you could just appoint the committee. So if you get this information, you get enough information to appoint the committee, let's get them started and let's get it going. Because we could be doing this 2 years from now, be in the same place.
Well, we won't be doing it for 2 years.
So should we call for a vote on the motion that's before the committee right now? Should we call for a vote on it?
We did. We called the vote on the first one.
To create the committee.
Yeah, and that passed.
Okay.
Yeah. So
basically, we're in time.
Yeah.
Any other questions, comments, concerns? Okay, moving forward. Item 5B, ODOT Assessment Management Process. Mr. Steve Rebbio.
Yeah, good afternoon,
item
everybody.
5B.
My name is Steve Rebbio, ODOT District 4 Planning Administrator. I guess off the bat, I would like to apologize. I did not know till yesterday that I was giving this speech, so you and I are seeing most of these slides the first time today. And also, for those of you that in Portage County, we had a Portage County Government Day, I think, on Monday or Tuesday, so you might have seen the same thing given by our deputy director at that time. So the heading on your agenda is asset management, but there's a lot of revenue slides on here, how much money you get in, how much money goes out. Some of them I'm just going to zip through. I think when we get into the nuts and bolts of asset management, I think for this group and individual cities, I think that's the discussion that might be more important to everybody. So basically, we're going to talk about some of this is like ODOT 101, what roads we're responsible for and everything else, how much money we get in, where does it go, and then a little bit of asset management discussion. And of course, very end, we even have some upcoming projects that are coming here in the next year, next half year. So basically, ODOT's mission, as you can see there, provide easy movement of goods and services, take care of what we have, make the system work better, improve safety, improve capacity. Very much like in a maintenance mode, we've had that discussion with the district group and the other NPOs, trying to take care of what we have. ODOT's responsibility, you can see here, you know, we're responsible for interstates, U.S. and state routes. We have the Ohio Turnpike Commission, local roads, state routes and things within the cities that the municipalities are the head of, and then township and county roads and some of the engineer's office is responsible for. A couple of fun facts here. ODOT's responsible for, we have 57% of all vehicle traffic, 67% of all freight traffic, you know, happens on our system, travels on our system, and only 87% of all the total lane miles. So, similarly, bridge decks or bridge area, 67% of responsibility for bridge deck area, and only 32% of the bridges. Here's where it gets really exciting. Lots of numbers with billions in them and everything else. So, forecasting our gas revenues here since like the collapse of 09 or 010, whenever that was, that recession. I mean, we've been very flat with forecasting minimal growth in motor fuel revenue of 1% in the next couple of years, and then flat all the way up to 2020. There is a small increase in the federal bill that just passed last month, the FAST Act, 2.5% over the 5 years. I guess that those are the dollars that are in the FAST Act. An extra $225 billion across the country. I think we talked in previous meetings for the department here in Ohio, we're anticipating an extra $500 to $600 million. This is a graph that just shows motor fuel, the billions of gallons taxed. You can see back in 09 when gas was pushing $4 and everything, how low it was. Anticipating a little bit. Total revenues from all the taxes we collect, the federal taxes and the state taxes, nearly $3 billion. And out of the state portion, you know, we have some other smaller petroleum fees and interest and things like that, but $1.2 billion approximately comes in from the fuel tax. Now, where does that go? ODOT ends up with 42% of what's collected. There's a couple small agencies down at ODOT, or down in Columbus, that we still throw some funds at, ODNR. Cities and locals, and then up in the top left, at 10%, talking about local partners is the MPO portion, that discretionary money that we give away. So out of all we collect, you know, we only end up with 42% of it. So I think this is just making the point, we get all that state money in, give it out to some of our partners, and then we have all the traffic and the freight and the bridge to take care of. So trying to do a lot with not a lot of money. This is the 10% that they talked about, discretionary, over $300 million rolled out to our MPOs. So here kind of gets into where do we spend all those billions that we're talking about. We've calculated through central office and everything that 93% of what we expend money on goes to what we have. It's preserving our current lanes, our current bridges. Even though you might see big track jobs around and they're big dollars and big price tag, even a component of them is fixing what's already there. So they looked at last year's fiscal year 15 program. See, you know, we had a record program over $2.4 billion. A billion of it, at least, on what we had over on the left-hand side, straight preservation. $418 billion given to local partners, and then you do get into the track jobs over on the side, and even the total track spending pushing $600 million or $500 some million. You know, if you got a widening job, we're replacing those two lanes that are there, maybe the four lanes that are there, and adding two more. So even on something that does add capacity, a big component of those jobs is replacing what's already there. This is related to the local communities. Nearly 20% of our funds are going down to the locals, over $300 million. Now we kind of get into asset management. Over the last several years, through less people and improving our operations, we've saved as a department over $600 million that we've rolled into other programs. We're doing some bigger jobs, public and private. Doing better with our bonding issues and working with the turnpike and some of that with cash management. And then we are really jumping two feet first into asset management. We did it a little bit last year, but this year we're really going full go. So taking care of what we have, asset management-wise, state-of-the-art technology we're getting into different preservation treatments, and then really collaborating with our maintenance forces, our six counties. So state-of-the-art technology, you know, we're trying to get, we're doing more GIS stuff, inventorying a lot more, actually getting our guys out in the field with a lot of information on their iPhones and everything like that. So we're really catching up to the industry in that respect. Asset management, when we talk about treatments, and I guess, you know, some of you guys have called me as we send out legislation and stuff, and you're going to be seeing this more and more with us. What we used to do up until 2 years ago is we would just get an allocation. You know, District 4 gets X amount of dollars for pavement and bridges. And what we would do in the old days is we check PCR data, and we're picking worst first. You know, the lowest PCRs getting the money, and that was the way it was for 20, 30, 40 years, even back to the Joe Paradise days. But now what we're doing, and we have a centralized pavement management system in Columbus. And this pavement management system looks at all our routes, all our segments, looks at ADTs, looks at distresses, and everything like that. And it spits out, this is the best way to optimize your pavements. And it spits it out for all 12 districts. So instead of me having a bridge or a pavement engineer that's selecting projects one way and another district has a pavement engineer that's using another criteria, this black box in central office is selecting pavements for us. And we need to adhere to at least 75% of its recommendations. You know, we may totally disagree and say that's stupid, it doesn't make any sense. And we can have conversations with our pavement people in Columbus. And we're not following this thing, you know, blindly off the edge of a cliff somewhere, but we're following the bulk of what's coming out of it. And I would say if you look at our program as a whole anymore, we're probably doing 80% is going to be asset management type of treatments, when 20% of our program will be the old normal minor rehabs, take two and a half inches off, put two and a half inches back on. And I guess the main methodology with asset management, I'm not an engineer of any type, but it's do minor, smaller treatments, but you do them in a higher PCR band. So you may pave a road, and then a couple years later, you're going to be putting crack sealing on it, and a couple years after that, you're going to put some micro, small treatment on that, and then you'll be doing another something else. So where in the old days, we had to pave, not come back out there and done anything for 10 or 12 years, and then we had a minor rehab in 12 years, now you're going to try to extend that life and hopefully get that life cycle of that pavement out to 15, 18 years. That's the hope anyhow. And I guess going hand in hand with we all have finite budgets, these lesser treatments earlier on are much more or less expensive. We're talking about a third of the price, a half of the price of a normal minor rehab. So that's the crux of asset management from a non-engineer's perspective. But also with us, we are working hand-in-hand with our county forces. We're doing a lot more concentrated effort on cleaning and sweeping our bridges, more extensive crack sealing, underdrain cleanouts, keeping those roadways dry. All hand-in-hand, we're putting together one big work plan every year instead of us in planning, putting a work plan together for projects, and our maintenance guys putting together a separate work plan. Now it's one big combined effort. So chip seals, you're not going to see it a lot with you guys. We basically, in District 4, we have Northern Trumbull and Southern Ashtabula. We are going to do some chip seal. And they put it down there, then they put almost like a tar topping on it, and the way they roll it nowadays, they say unless you get down on your hands and knees, can't even really tell that it's a chip seal highway or roadway. But there are other parts of the state where this is going to be used extensively. Out west, the southern part, I mean, most of their program will be chip seal. So as you can see, they're a quarter of the cost. It gives you like 5 to 7 years, where a normal line of rehab would like give you 8 to 10, or 10 to 12 possibly. Bridges, like I said, we're proactively cleaning. We in District 4 have been sealing our bridges as a matter of practice for about the last 6-8 years. I mean, it's just like anything with your house, you know. You want to continually maintain your house or your car so you're not stuck with some big, huge repair down the road. So we're cleaning these things and we're sweeping. Here's the collaboration I was talking about with our maintenance folks. You know, they know our two-year capital plan. They know in depth where we're working, what type of asset management job we're doing. And with our asset management jobs, there aren't a lot of repairs, and there aren't pipes, there aren't culverts, there aren't guardrails. So our counties are going to come out ahead of those jobs, make some pavement repairs, replace a culvert here and there if needed, and then we follow the next year with the asset management project. I think that might be good for asset management. My PIO guys wanted to tell you about an OGO app that's been out there, but it's going to get to your phone here. It's in a beta test right now, early next year. I don't know if you get on there and you check if there's backups all throughout the state, but you'll be able to get it right on your handheld. Just wanted to talk quickly about a couple Summit County projects out in the Barberton-Norton area. We awarded the widening of 76. Basically, it starts from the Medina County line, but at State Route 21 all the way into State and Worcester, it's going to go from 4 lanes to 6 lanes. It's a design-build project, so you'll probably see shovels in the ground more towards the fall, but Kent Moore Construction got that at $80 million. We have an ongoing job on Spicer Johnston, just west of the Central Interchange, and it's going to go into it's going to have some closures on North and South 77 coming up in June and July. So we are going to be restriping the Kenmore Lake from 4 to 6 lanes. So we will get the Canton to Cleveland traffic and the Cleveland to Canton traffic to take 77 north out by our office, across 277, and up the Kenmore Lane, so they don't have to go near the Central and Spicer Johnston at all. And there was a turnpike vote last Thursday or Friday, and they awarded the money to the Main Broadway project, which will basically redo all of Main Broadway, all those ramps near there, take out Wolf Ledges, or replace Wolf Ledges, and those structures there, and that job is like $100 million job. So don't go near downtown Akron until what day? Like 2020, 2021, something like that. That's all I have. Hopefully it wasn't too slow to board. Any questions for anybody?
Thank you, Steve.
So I don't know. Curtis and I have had some side discussions and other MPOs out in East Cape. You know, I don't know as a group if you want to kind of take this forward, or maybe some other. Like Joe, I know you get a report from a firm that gives you kind of a pavement management look at things.
Gives us better pavement management than you.
Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Moving on, item number 6, resolutions. 6A, resolution 2016-05, approving amendment number 5 to the Transportation Improvement Program, fiscal year 2016 to 2019, to add 2 new projects and revise the funding and schedule to 1 project.
Okay, thank you. Resolution 2016-05. Does add 2 new projects and revises the funding and schedule to 2 existing projects. I'll briefly go over the 4 projects. State Route 14 is a new reconstruction project in Streetsboro. Engineering is scheduled in 17 and 18. And they received $745,000 in highway safety improvement funds to fund that. Freedom Trail is being pulled in from fiscal year 18 to fiscal year 16, and $1.27 million of local funding is being added to that project to make that happen. Cyberling Way Demolition is receiving $754,000 in AMAT's STP funds, and that is being transferred from another Goodyear project, so it's not new funds, it's just moving some funds around to get that demolition underway. And finally, the I-76 Central Interchange is a new project where three ramps are being reconstructed in Akron. Engineering is scheduled in 17 and 18 using $2.7 million in safety funding and $3.6 million in funds approved by TRAC. Right-of-way is scheduled in 2019. That'll get underway in 19 using $900,000 in HSIP funds. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer them.
Does this
change any of the funding?
Does
it bump any of the other
projects?
Oh, no.
It does not replace. It's not a replacement on anything.
It's just moved, it's moving some money around.
I move to approve.
I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Hearing none, motion carries. Moving forward, number 7, other business. Subcommittee on AMAC's director selection process. I've received phone calls and discussion about the selection process for the new director. And one of the things that was mentioned was that there may be a need to create a subcommittee to look at the way that the process is handled. Is there any discussion or anybody have any ideas on that thought?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the selection process here by City of Akron under civil service?
Well, that was part of the discussion. It's my understanding that our MPO is the only MPO in the state that come under the auspices of a city. All the other MPOs are by a council of government or some other entity. And that was one part of the discussion that was brought forth to me, was that do we want to look at the possibility of it not being a civil service position from the City of Akron, that person that we hire would come from a selection committee or a committee from here. And, you know, I'm neither here nor there, okay? It was brought to me, and I wanted to bring it to the floor to see if there's any discussion along that lines.
I would like to make a motion that we support Curtis Baker in this effort as being the director for this in support of him to the City of Akron. I don't think any changes need. That's a motion.
Second.
I'll second it.
Good deal. I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Hearing none. Congratulations. You have the support of the policy committee.
If the bar was open at 4, I'd take y'all.
There is one down the road, though.
Yeah. So, Curtis, how long the process is going to take
The
cities?
Just to update everyone, so the issue is with the civil service. One of the newest wrinkles with the City of Akron is you all know that it's going through a new administration and a new change. Every job posting that's going to be made needs to be reviewed and go through the civil service process before it's posted. So the process right now is the city is looking to update that job posting so that then it can go through the traditional avenues of the civil service process for that express purpose. So my understanding is I've been assured that it'll be, you know, July when it would be official, but honestly this vote of confidence means a lot more to me than that, so I do appreciate that.
Mr. Chairman, but it is an internal posting only at this point.
Correct.
So it's any employee working for the City of Akron can't apply, and it the rule of three then would apply if that happens, if I'm not
that's correct.
Paying my own sole service.
Yeah.
And if there's only one person that applies, I think they have the ability to go ahead and give that.
That's correct. And when this happened 7 years ago or 8 years ago, there was only one applicant. So that's traditionally. There aren't that many folks in the city of Akron that are meet the qualifications. So.
When the time comes for us to for that to happen, I will draft a letter to the Civil Service Commission stating that it was our recommendation that Curtis Dick would be appointed to that position so that they can have that on file.
I would think that, not that I want to create another subcommittee, but if they're in the future, I mean, the time to look at whether we want to be a subdivision of the city or a county, probably not, this is probably not a good time when the director is being hired, but if there's feeling of the organization that it's time to take a look at how we are structured, I would say maybe after the new director is in, that we might want to take a look at that. I'm neither here nor there, just, you know, I don't have an opinion about it, but I think if we then just wait until...
Right, the next time or somebody else.
I agree. Don't wait the water.
Yeah, and I will say that, you know, Gene Roberts had made that motion at the last meeting that we open up the bylaws. And my thought would be, at least from the bylaws perspective, we look at making sure we have explicit language that would at least even acknowledge and discuss how this process takes place, and then also, but I think then have that discussion about should it change, because I think, you know, I think from our initial analysis, what we've seen is that it would probably cost a lot more, but then that doesn't mean there aren't other reasons to consider it. And for me personally, I would just want it to be post our 2040 plan, because we, you know, this is our crunch time through next May. So,
and Curtis, I think Summit County does a lot to Summit Soil and Water, and they have a lot of different entities that are run completely by boards. Mm-hmm. So as opposed to, if when we look at the bylaws and everything, as opposed to making our own whole selection process, it might be moving it from the city to the county, and you have a lot more independence as far as civil service, I would think. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, we're not civil service.
Yeah, okay. So then you would...
Right.
We have a classification system.
Yeah, there are some options.
We are not civil service.
Yeah. When they open up the bylaws to look at that, we wouldn't be an independent entity running all the finances and the payroll and everything through just AMAT.
Yeah, you definitely need to look at the expense, because if you create a separate organization, it's going
to
cost you a lot of money.
You
create a cog, yeah.
But going to like the county, yeah, as opposed to the city might be...
I mean, then pretty much City of Akron access the fiscal agent, and we do that for a lot of different entities, but I'm not so worried about this.
Any further discussion? Our next regular meeting is Thursday, May 19th at 2016 at 1:30 p.m. right here in this room. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed the same. Hearing none, we are adjourned.
Thank you, everyone.